The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 21st edition of the National Intel Report. I'm your host for this Tuesday, as always, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, the title for this evening's broadcast, Justice or Bustus? In what America do we live? Michael, go ahead and play that 35-second clip.
I would like to thank all of you because I just stand here representative of 900 of your fellow citizens of the United States of America. These people didn't go to overthrow a government. These people didn't go to harm somebody, damage something, break something, steal. I will admit, let's be real, some people acted outside of their character as Americans that day. I had recognized that. We all recognize that. But there should be a reality that goes with that. Some equality, some real honest justice.
Yes, a representative of 900 of our fellow citizens, folks. And these 900 didn't go to overthrow a government. They didn't go to harm somebody. They didn't go to damage something. They didn't go to break or steal something. And as he said, there should be some equality with that. Some real honest justice. Now, instead, we saw the glaring reality of what happens when a million plus Americans gather to manifest their constitutional rights for redress of grievances. The egregious grievance of an obvious stolen election. A grievance so heinous, it motivated these passionate Americans to travel thousands of miles to make their presence known. And what did they gain for their efforts? Well, unfortunately, four of them died that day. Roseanne Boylan, Kevin Greeson, Benjamin Phillips, and Ashley Babbitt. And the rest of about 900 Americans tracked down across the country like criminals and arrested for the simple crime of acting on their constitutional and God-given rights, many of whom, folks, still languishing in dungeon-like conditions in a D.C. jail cell. Now, I just played you 35 seconds of a video clip. I didn't. Michael did. Thank you, Michael. 35 seconds of a video clip from one of those victims speaking at the Clay Clark Reawaken America tour. And by the way, that's posted on the RBN website if you want to view it in its entirety. Who was tracked down and arrested. Now, folks, I have him here with us tonight to share his story and what his life and the life of 900 other Americans has become since January 6th, 2021. His website is condemnedusa.com. And I want you to please welcome with me to the National Intel Report, Trennis Evans. Trennis, welcome and thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you, sir?
Mike, I thank you so much for having me on your show this evening. I'm glad that you have an audience that's interested in the truth. I think it's really sad that we have so many people that are willing to just believe the baseless lies of the media and the constructs that they persuade the feckless American people into. So thank you so much for having that audience and being a voice to them, because I know I'm not the only voice that gets to speak in an event or a show like yours. So I'm very thankful for the opportunities for media like yours, true media that wants the truth. So thanks for having me here tonight.
And I'm doing well. Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. And I want to start this out, Trennis, I'm sorry, my tongue is warbling tonight. I want to start this out by giving the audience that is not familiar with you an overview of your personal experience of what happened with you at January 6th and the outcome of such. And then we're going to go into some of the other people involved and some of them you're advocating for as we speak in the judicial system and so forth. But let's start out, Trennis, with what your journey was and what has happened to you since. Go ahead. You've got the floor.
Well, sure. Thanks, Mike. So first, let me tell you that in mispronouncing my name, I don't find any great harm in that. I've been called much worse. I met my wife 23 years ago, and I've been with her for with two children. So I can handle it. I'm thick-skinned by now, buddy. All right. So anyway, in reality.
Well, wait a minute. It's not pronounced Trennis?
No, you got it right. You stumbled there. So it's okay.
I was excited about it. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Let's get to it. Okay. So listen, you wanted to hear from me about January 6th. You have deep listeners that want to hear that are interested in this truth. So I appreciate this, and I'm going to take the time to delve into my personal stories, which you know, it's not what I often do. It's not really where my focus is. There's many people in much worse position that I, again, only have the honor of representing their voice that are not able to represent it. So let me share with you. I was, like many Americans, watching what was happening in our election. I was watching on election night, watching President Trump running away with this thing. And then we start having all these irregularities, they like to call them. They always like to soft soap anything that doesn't fit their narrative, right? Some are fit what they like. So and they had these irregularities, these anomalies, like, boy, we're shutting down here, we're shutting down counting there. And then these phenomenal vote spikes, et cetera. I was that American, like many, I bet you, of your listeners, that was actually watching when they had these Senate judiciary hearings or the Senate committee hearings, like in Georgia, or they had hearings that were televised that we saw Rudy Giuliani at. And we saw our fellow Americans, some near 1,400 fellow Americans, affidavits in the hands being waved around saying these people under the penalty of perjury, under the penalty of 5 years in prison, have attested to these facts that they witnessed these events that are not okay in an election. You know, everything from truckloads of ballots being brought in and what have you. We all saw that. And so much more has come since then. But I was watching that and I said, wow, this is crazy. And we all rode an emotional roller coaster. It would be, oh, they're going to hear this case in Nevada. Oh, they're doing this and such and such. I was actually with Brian over at Right Side Broadcasting, sitting in Old Ebbett Grill in D.C. when we first heard about the dueling slate of electors. And then, of course, we know they were locked out, not allowed in, and just insanity. It's just, you know, never before seen nonsense that went on in our country. So I was actually traveling after seeing those events there, November 4th, and what transpired there in the coming month, to the Stop the Steal rallies. They had them in Austin. They were in Michigan. They were in, they were everywhere. You know, they were in D.C. We had the Million MAGA March, the Stop the Steal rally. Then you had January 6th, of course. We had several events. And I was present, and I witnessed what happened when we showed up to voice our opinions. Antifa and BLM showing up out of nowhere to attack people, grandmothers being beaten, children, women running for their lives and being pushed over a stroller, attacking women, attacking elderly people, people in restaurants being attacked and run out of restaurants, tables flipped over, drinks poured on them, all for having any association with MAGA or any questioning of these elections, which last time I checked are the right, you know, God-given rights first and then constitutional rights second. Interestingly enough, there was this great disparity in the country. There was a lot of people saying there's nothing to this. And interestingly enough, the Democrats spent tens of millions of dollars to block these court actions. And I've always said while we're still on this election matter here, Mike, I don't want to get too far, but if the easiest way to prove to us that the election wasn't stolen and to end Donald Trump forever would have been to pour all the cards out on the table and say, here's everything. See, everyone can see for themselves now there was absolutely no fraud. Why hide the ballots? Why block it in court? That would have ended it all for Trump. And all of us, we would have all left him and said, oh, this is crazy. However, they wouldn't do it. They fought. When someone fights to keep things in secret, there's a reason. So at any rate, so we were back to what we were witnessing and what was happening in our country. Conservatives were being attacked. We saw people drugged from their stores and beaten. We saw these things happening on television, and then they were relegated to the realm of mostly peaceful protests, as we're seeing cities burning in the backdrop. I mean, insanity. Then, on January 6th, Antifa has tendered all kinds of stuff on the internet about attacks. They've made allegations about what they're going to do. There were threats of all kinds of violence. So people, having had experience by now dealing with what Antifa and BLM do, and they come in this heavily clad in armor and bring shields and all this nonsense, started showing up in tactical gear so they might be able to defend themselves. Men started coming as protectors. Imagine that. Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Proud Boys, regular American citizens were now coming to political events in, essentially tactical gear to be to level the playing field, if you will, in case there's an attack, not because they're out looking for trouble, but because of what's been allowed. Then these same people go from the Capitol, from the Ellipse that morning, down to the Capitol. Apparently, that the gates are breached, and all this happens, and you know, early on, long before President Trump stopped speaking, the initial breaches, and they allow tens of thousands of more people to continue to funnel down there instead of pulling police cars into the road and saying, hey, turn around, this has been canceled, there's a riot. Nope. They just allow us to come right on in and funneling us in.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I don't know whether you're aware of this. This just came out. I just got this shortly before the show. Are you aware that Tucker Carlson has just announced that Speaker McCarthy has granted unfettered access to the January 6th footage, and he's going to release his findings? Tucker's going to go through all this, which I don't know how one person can do it, but with 44,000 hours of video. But the Democrats are up in arms about this. They're pulling their hair out regarding this, because McCarthy has given Tucker Carlson the access to all of the footage. And to me, this could be, and let me see what your thoughts are on this, this could be a tipping point here.
Absolutely.
But in your case, you entered the Capitol. Right. I want to get back to you for just a moment. You entered the Capitol, correct, with hundreds or if not thousands of other people innocently. I mean, you know, they, a lot of the people, and I saw some of the video footage, they just went in, looked around, took some pictures. I know the guy with the horns, you know, plopped his feet up. I believe it was the guy with the horns on Nancy Pelosi's desk, which he was just sentenced to, I think, 20 years in prison for that audacious move, which he harmed no one, you know. But there's, you know, in your case, you were just one. You were just one of hundreds, if not thousands, of people that entered the room. Correct.
Correct. Yeah. No. Yeah. When you say the room, I mean entered the building. Yes.
You entered the building, and because you were one of those that entered the building, even though you didn't tip over an ashtray, you didn't do anything wrong. You ultimately, at some point, exited the building, went on your merry way, went home, got on with your life. I'm assuming.
Well, let's be clear about, can I clarify on what happened in the building?
Okay.
I saw people coming and going in and out of that building, walking right past the police. The police were shaking their hands, giving hugs, taking selfies. This happened. I watched this go on for well over 20 minutes. And I finally said, well, you know, we were all asking people as they're coming out, well, what's going on in there? What are they doing about the vote? And they said, well, I think they stopped the vote count. We didn't know why they stopped. Did they stop because they're going to go review this? Did we get answers? Is this a time for jubilance and celebration? What's going on here? And people said, well, I don't know, but the cops are letting me in. And it was plain as day that the cops were standing there witnessing me going in, both outside the door and inside the door, just standing there. No one's telling anyone not to enter. No one's suggesting you don't enter. So there's this giant clog at the door, literally hundreds of people coming and going in this doorway in a matter of minutes. And you're going, wow, okay. So I look in there. I enter the building. I lead the national anthem. I didn't know anything more patriotic and peaceful to do than the national anthem. And then I led the Pledge of Allegiance. It's all part of my charging documents in the court. Then I get to an area called the Crypt, which is about 40 to 70 yards down a hallway, single hallway, from where I entered the building. I get to this area. I'm in the crypt, and I see someone carrying around some items, or several people carrying items around that look like they belonged inside the Capitol, didn't look like they brought it with them. I immediately started chastising, hey, whoa, 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 what are we doing? On a megaphone, on video, with do not harm, do not damage, do not break, do not steal, this, we don't loot, we don't burn our cities, we're not BLM, we're not Antifa, we don't bring destruction, we don't bring harm, that's not who we are. We back the blue, we support the police to the ad nauseum. And the police are just standing around, literally lean back with their feet up on the wall. This is what I'm witnessing, and it's on video. I tell you, go to ConfirmedUSA, watch it, go watch BloodyHill.com, watch the video evidence for yourself. Then the police come over to me, a couple of them, and shake my hand and thank me for what I'm doing. And said, hey, thanks, we appreciate what you're doing. We have a conversation. They asked me, what do you think we'd do about getting some of these people out of here? I said, well, I don't know, there's more coming. And I just answered honestly. I said, you know, I think there's been kind of a powder keg here. So the guy says to me, the officer, all right, well, thanks. We appreciate you for keeping people calm, et cetera. We shake hands again. And then it dawns on me, well, they're trying to get people out. You know, I answered this guy quickly and immediately. So at that point, I figure, you know what, it's best that I'm going to leave because they're trying to ask people to leave. As I turned and went back out of that big room, the crypt, which is not deep in the middle of the Capitol, as they might say, you know, suggest, and when they say these things, the government does. They like to paint a picture that's unreal. However, so I see a window, and I go to wave out this window. I thought, I'm going to stop and wave out this window, and I'm going to get a picture out of this window. First, I went to get the picture, then I wave, and then I come down, and the guy's drinking a shot of Jack Daniels out of his backpack. And I said, oh, man, sure. And he says, why, sure. I said, all right, well, guess what? I'm a whiskey-drinking, God-loving, 2A kind of American. So I thought a shot of whiskey was a great thing. And then I realized...
Okay, let me interject here real quick, Trentus. We're going to take a break in about a minute. And then we'll have a short segment and then another break. And then we're going to go a whole half hour. Okay, so I want to just tip you off with that. So go ahead and continue, and I'll cut you off when the break starts. Go ahead.
Got it. So anyway, so at that moment... As when things start.
Okay, let me cut you off. The break's starting. So at that moment, at that moment, the Jack Daniels came out. At that moment, we'll hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report, with my special guest, Trentus Evans. Be right back. Stick around. Much more to come, folks.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Something happening here, and it wasn't exactly clear. Now, before we get back to this, before the Jack Daniels came out, I have to ask you, from your perspective up to that point, Trennis, it sounds to me like the police were pretty much on your side, on the public side. It sounded like they were, you know, glad-handing you, sort of. Am I right there?
Oh, there's no question about that. You have to understand that I didn't arrive on the grounds till well after 2 o'clock. All of that fighting, you know, 2:20 something was over before 2:20. The stuff that happened at the Lower West Terrace and the stuff at the tunnel got going around 3. So I really missed that. I fell into a window of people that walked. There was no barrier, no fence, no signage saying do not enter. I literally was walking behind the same people from all the way down at Freedom Plaza. Now, remember, I went to my hotel after finishing the speech, so I stopped in the hotel and got, you know, more beef jerky and granola bars, bottles of water and stuff, because people were, there was nowhere to buy anything. So I was handing stuff out and sharing things, and, you know, kind of what we did as Americans, and there wasn't anywhere to share anything to buy. So we were sharing with one another, those of us that had provisions, if you will, were able to do that. Not we weren't up there for an encampment for an insurrection. We were prepared to be able to out there 12, 13 hours outside of Congress waiting on this, you know, to go through 6 hours
six states, 2 hours per state. This was going to go on. These deliberations couldn't happen as long as 2 hours, we saw, per state. And we thought if the process doesn't start till 1 o'clock, that puts us to like 3 a.m. with whatever ceremonial jargon that happens. And that could be, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning before this is over. So at any rate, all that being said, I entered the Capitol grounds walking alone. I waved at police officers just as I entered. They waved back at us as we were entering the Capitol grounds. No one saying a word, you know, all the way up. They're just standing there and watching you. You know, it's just sad and sick what's happened here. They could have been on those loudspeakers on those police cars saying, turn around, this has been declared a riot area, turn around. Nope, they allowed us all to keep coming and not notifying us of any of this. So anyway, like I said, so we've already been in. You've taken us, taking you all the way up the walk, up the steps, into the building, down through the into the crypt, and now we're at the conference room there. It's a boardroom, a big boardroom table and a window. And I stepped up and waved out this window after I got my picture. And then this guy pulls out the Jack Daniels. We have a swing of Jack Daniels together. It dawns on me. They're like, wow, look how nice this is. This is kind of crazily, ridiculously nice. And I made a video and said, look how nice they live on our tax dollars. Wow, isn't this great? Must be a good gig or something to that effect. Then I thought, oh, I've never had a fireball in the Capitol building. And I had this lady take a picture of me having a shot of fireball, and I sent it to my buddy. Like, hey, you know, like, look where I am. Kind of like when you're on vacation, you send that Grand Canyon picture. It's like, here's me in the Capitol. You know, so anyway, they turned this whole thing into, now remember, I've already been helpful to the police, right? Then I went, okay, I'm going to get back to what I was doing. And then I see more police officers in the hall, one of the same officers I spoke to, and they're trying to round people up and get them to leave. So I get on the megaphone and say, remember, we back the blues, support the police, come on, time to go. Get out of here, right? This is all on video. This was evidence in the court. They saw this. Me helping the police never touched so much as a paperclip, because it didn't belong to me. It belongs to all of the American people. We provide that in that, all of those addressings and pictures and whatever, they're all part of our history. It belongs to past generations, this generation, future generations, all Americans. It's our history. It's our tax dollars. You don't take those things. So at any rate, it's not mine to take as a souvenir. So, like I said, never touch so much as a paperclip, Mike. Anyway, there we go. I'm helping the officers some more and standing there on the megaphone, urging the crowd to be peaceful. You know, I'm not seeing anyone being violent, but there was undertones and murmurings that I didn't like. And imagine where those may have come from. That's going to come out here in some of this stuff that's going to be released from SEAL in the very near future of my case. But at any rate, so then I leave the building. I'm outside on the balcony for a while, singing the national anthem again, you know, singing, the, you know, the people are singing songs, praying, police are standing there, there's no violence, nothing taking place, it's out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden, I do loan this guy my megaphone, he wanted to say something about being a Cuban American, et cetera, et cetera. He's talking over the megaphone, we let him say his piece. I turn around and I'm talking to some people. I turn back around and my megaphone's gone. I'm in the sea of people. I don't see the megaphone. It's nobody's talking to me. So I go looking for that, walking around. Walk around to the other side of the building. And what I saw was a totally different scene at the other side of the building as I walked around that wraparound balcony of the Upper West Terrace over toward the east side. I saw people kicking in windows, fighting with police. People obviously look like police fighting from inside the windows to keep the people out. Like, oh my gosh, okay. I don't want to be a part of this. This is not what I'm here for. I'm out of here. And I start back down, go back around where I came from, back down the original steps I came, just going back, right? So,
okay, let me stop you. All right, you stop. You're on your way back down. That's not what you came for. We've got to take one more break, and then we're going to go to the top of the hour. Be back in three. Stick around. Trina Evans, my special guest. He'll be right back with the rest of it, folks. Stick around.
Sleeping. They came and took it all away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report and my special guest, Trennis Evans. And before the break, Trennis, you were talking about you went around to the other side of the building and that you saw some glass breakage and you saw some, well, disrupt, and that wasn't what you came for, so you headed back out. So go ahead and continue with your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was headed right back down the same way I came, and all of a sudden I see my blue megaphone with the stickers on it, and this guy's on it, and he's going off about this letter. He saw, I didn't steal this letter, but they maced me, and I bled on it, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, good Lord, what's this guy talking about? And it turned out to be Richard Barnett. And I don't have anything against Richard Barnett. I think, you know, I think it's silly that the guy, he sat in a desk and put his feet up, and they were going to put him in prison for, you know, a decade for putting his feet up in a desk, which is, you know, absolutely.
Oh, is that the guy with the, that's the guy with the horns. That's the guy with the horns.
No, that's Jacob Chansley. You're talking about, this is Richard Barnett, the guy that had the letter from Nancy Pelosi's office, and he's shirtless in the picture. He's got his shirt open in the picture, big flannel shirt.
Yeah, he's the guy that was just convicted and is going away for 20 years or something like that for putting his feet on her desk. Is that right?
Yeah, feet on her desk. The temple. And he desecrated the temple. That's his problem. Yeah. So that's what really
Okay, anyway.
But
all right, go ahead.
So I'm going down the steps, and I see Barnett on my megaphone, and I go over, and I'm like, hey, buddy, that's mine. You need to give it up. And he's like, just one more second, blah, 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 about his letter. And I said, look, give me the megaphone. You're done. I appreciate you. You know, you've finished your say. I need to go. I don't want to be here anymore. So he hands over the megaphone. I head down the steps, and a gentleman comes running up to me. And he goes, hey, have you seen these tweets? And I said, well, what tweets? I haven't seen any tweets. And he shows me these tweets from Scavino. And he says, this is President Trump using Scavino's Twitter, or retweeted by Dan Scavino or something. I said, well, let me see this. And it's talking about be peaceful, back the blue, support the police, you know, don't wear the nation, wear the law, people of law and order, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, okay, I can get with that. I'll read that. So it's a message from President Trump, and he's asking people to be peaceful, and he's asking people to leave. So I thought, yep, you got me. I'll do that. So, of course, then I proceed to read this letter or this in its entirety, these tweets, five tweets. And it's we back the blue and support the police, all things I was saying already that I obviously agree with. So I go ahead and read this information. After reading this information, I proceed to leave the grounds. Well, of course, I'm explaining this to the FBI when they show up at my house January 17th to talk to me. I'm actually, a mother was dropping off some kids to play with my kid, and, you know, they were 13, and she was there on the porch, and we were having a chat, and these, I thought it was, you know, somebody peddling, you know, I don't know what, the Jehovah's Witness or whatever, nothing against the Jehovah's Witness, just saying that's who comes to the door once in a while, and somebody's coming to the door, and I see him coming down the walkway, and I'm like, hey, listen, thanks, whatever it is, I'm not interested, I don't want any, and, excuse me, pardon me, I had to sneeze, excuse me. At any rate,
that's okay.
So I said, I don't want any. And the guy, retorts, this is agent such and such with the FBI. And agent, I'm like, oh boy, yeah, I really don't want any now. Cancel my subscription, right? So, anyway,
yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, here we go. So I'm like, put my hands up, like, am I under arrest? Like, and he's like, no, Mr. Evans. Are you Mr. Evans? I said, yeah, I'm Mr. Evans. He says, I'm Trennis. And I said, look, I'm sure you hear about the Capitol. I was there. Got plenty. Everything I did is on video. I didn't touch anyone. I didn't harm anything. I didn't damage anything. I didn't steal anything. You know, I've seen this whole madness that's going on out here, and you guys are flashbanging people's houses and all this nonsense. Thanks for coming, you know, this way instead of that. Whatever we need to do. I said, I'm, you know, happy to talk to you. I'd love to, and under normal circumstances, I'd invite you in. I'd put on some coffee or make some tea, and we'd have a chat. But with this insane DOJ and this Biden thing and everybody calling everybody insurrectionist and seditionist and all this madness, I'm just going to have to say that I'm going to need my attorney present before we can have a real detailed conversation. And he says, no, we just need to, you know, understand that it's you, et cetera. And I said, yes, that's me. And he said, okay, you were there. And I said, yes, sir. I said, look, if I need to be arrested or whatever's happening here, there's children here. I need to call a couple parents or get that taken care of. There's, teen and preteen kids here, 12, 13 year old children. And I had about 8 of them at my house. And, I said, if that's going to happen, I need to make sure that, you know, everybody's situated or we do, not get leave these kids up. And he says, no. He says, sir, we're not here to arrest you. We just came to talk to you. But, you know, I understand if you want your counsel present. And mind you, I'd never had a criminal attorney before. I didn't have to deal in criminal stuff. So anyway, then they said, no, just give us a number for your attorney. We'll call her. And I tried to call her. She couldn't answer. She was in a court case somewhere in court. And he called them back that evening. They played a little phone tag. They ended up talking that week. This went on for weeks. She said, look, Mr. Evans will turn himself in. You know, he's fully willing to cooperate. He's not involved in anyone. Doesn't know anyone. Not a part of anything. So, you know, just whatever you need, there's no reason to, you know, come back with force. And they were like, oh, no, he was very cooperative. We understand. And so this goes on, and there's back and forth planning, like, you know, if I'm even going to be bothered or if they're just going to want me to hand over my stuff or what the story's going to be. Well, March, my wife's father passes at the end of February. And they have funeral plan, viewing of the body, funeral, all this stuff going on the weekend of March 4th. And here comes a SWAT team at, 7 o'clock in the morning at my home with the good old pre-dawn raid, the whole, the whole nine. battering.
Oh, no.
40-plus Adrian, you know, all to the hilt and to full SWAT gear. It's the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I happened to catch out of the corner of my eye, as I have an office here in the front of the house, and I happened to catch out of the front of my eye something going on. The dog starts going nuts. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is not happening. I mean, it's like you see that coming down your walk and spreading out through your yard and people set up on vehicles, and you're like, oh, geez, what in the hell is going on here? So at any rate, I just go to the door. They're just knocking on the door, FBI, and I'm yelling for my wife, why, you know, get the dog, you know, because my dog's not going to take this well, right? So anyway, so like, my wife's getting the dog. She doesn't hear what I'm saying. She's like, what about the dog? And my child is there. I look at my child is at gunpoint on my porch.
Oh.
My 13-year-old son, on his way to school, in a pair of gym shorts and a T-shirt with a backpack. I mean, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Here's my wife.
And this is on the day you're preparing for your father-in-law's funeral, correct?
Oh, yeah. They waited. They had this indictment on me for weeks. D.C. orders the day when they go, right? D.C. took full control of all this. These local guys don't have any control of this. That's why you see whistleblowers now, Mike, coming out and saying, no, I'm not doing any more of these. This is insane. We're not doing this. We're not going after peaceful people that protested something with SWAT teams. No. That are willing to come turn themselves in. This is insane. So after all of this rigmarole, the best part of this is there's a funny caveat, things you can learn to laugh about years later. One of my neighbors came out and catches the guys in the suits down at the end of the street. Right, they're all the way down about 100 yards from the house at the end of the street where they have the fire truck blocking off the road with the ambulance blocking off the road and all the sheriff's vehicles. Oh, it was a regular, you know, cacophony. So, and he comes out, and one of the neighbors, God bless Texans, right? He comes, steps out, and he says, so I guess you got all these fine people assembled after you get the guy that was protesting at the Capitol. You guys are headed to go get Hillary and some of the real criminals, right? Oh man, they told him to get back inside before he went to prison, went to jail for interfering and obstructing injustice and blah blah blah. And of course, you know, being a Texan, he was giving him the sass mouth all the way back. You know, he's a good old retired guy, and he just, you know, there was a couple of military men on the street, there's a guy who used to work for the Secret Service here on the street, you know. And they were all, you know, outside going, you've got
to
be,
you know, Trent, you have to ask yourself, how much money did they spend, you know, on this whole event to, you know, did they arrest you that day?
Oh, gosh, yes. Now, that March 4th, after they came here, plain clothes, had a conversation with me, were invited into my home, you know, we just can. And then you come back with a SWAT team for a guy that says, yeah, just let me know. I mean, I'm, you know, they're like, well, okay, you know, don't get rid of anything. Don't do anything. And I was like, yeah, look, I'm not deleting anything. I'm not getting rid of anything. I got nothing to hide. You know, just let me know whatever we got to do. I mean, I'm knowing that this is a process, but I would have never imagined that I was going to get, you know, charged with a felony. They charged me with a felony obstruction of Congress. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Based on what? Based on what? At any rate, this madness has to stop. But let's keep going. So we'll run out of time.
Right.
We've got
the full 2 hours. I'm going to open up the phone lines in the second hour because I'm sure you're going to have listeners that are going to fire questions.
People need to
go ahead.
Yeah, these people got to understand it so that they can have questions here. So here we go. So I go to Karnes County Federal Detention Center, and I'm going to tell you this. There are good people left in the FBI, and I don't like this idea that everybody should walk away, because the FBI, if everybody, the good people, walk away, those are the people that are interrupting the conduit and coming out, and we wouldn't have whistleblowers if all the good people just walked away. I think, you know, whistleblowers would be great, but the idea that everybody just walk away is not a good idea. We need those good people to stay there, or we're going to have nothing but an organization of an absolute disaster, right? So this can't happen. So anyway, I'm supportive of the people that are good in the FBI. So these two agents, realizing what's been done to me, did their damnedest to get me processed. I was processed in the same room as El Chapo. And the lady that the processing people actually wanted to get my picture, like a picture with me, like, wow, real live insurrectionist. Like, you got to be kidding. Like, you got to be kidding. Like, seriously? Like, not just the processing picture. Like, people wanted pictures. I was like, sure, why not? Whatever, knock yourself out, right? That's just laughable nonsense, though. But, I mean, they tell you, wow, this is where El Chapo was processed. And, wow, you know, I'm like, this is amazing to me. So, at any rate, moving on, here we go. So, then these two agents, God bless them, I wrote them a thank you letter for what they did. Because they busted their tail to get me into Karnes County Federal Detention Center, get me booked and processed in, so that I could see the magistrate, hoping that I would be able to get out so that I could still attend the funeral. My wife had to go to the viewing of the body by herself without her husband. And mind you, we have a 21-year-old son. You know, we've spent some time together. I'm her person. Her dad just died. And this is what they're doing. They did this with the intention. They've done this at people's birthday parties, at, you know, grandma's birthday that people are attending. D.C. knows what's going on in your life. They're like Santa Claus, right? They have a list. They're checking it twice. And they don't care if you've been naughty or nice. They're going to do what they want to do. And they're going to inflict as much pain and damage and suffering as they can. Remember Michael Sherwin and bragging about their shock and awe campaign? That's exactly what happened here. And it's what's happened to countless Americans. Now, granted, people say, but listen, some of the people did, you know, terrible things. There's video of it. We can see them fighting with the police. Well, let me ask you something. You remember Rodney King, 1992? I remember it because I was in L.A. and I watched those riots up close and personal firsthand. All right? I was living in Buena Park. I drove down there to witness that firsthand, what was happening. I watched it. And that's what happened when people saw on the news after the fact the horrible beating that took place of Rodney King. Would you imagine what would happen if you had 10,000 or 20,000 people or thousands of people, law enforcement, veterans, witness a woman being beaten to death on the steps of the Capitol before their very eyes? You talk about a riot. You're damn right they got a riot. They got what they wanted. Lila Morris, after Roseanne Boylan was sprayed, was indiscriminately beating a woman who was unconscious.
This was inside the corridor, right? They dragged her in there. Go ahead.
Yes, and people witnessed it by the thousands. The people that were witness to that, immediately, that's when that tunnel thing turned into a total shit show, Mike. Because of what those people witnessed. And that's why they've come to this thing. They killed American citizens. They shot Ashley Babbitt, an unarmed woman, who was punching Zachary Rill for breaking that, trying to break the window, and telling him, call for backup. She was trying to render aid to the situation. It's very clear. So you've got Ashley Babbitt. And then you have Roseanne Boylan, who was beaten on the steps after she was sprayed with CS gas. She wasn't trampled. The officers kept pushing a pile of people over onto people. And I don't know what tactical genius, some tactical wizardry, was the idea that you're going to push out your police line out of the tunnel into this crowd of tens of thousands of people with a couple dozen men. What idiots were those people to do that? After you've just beaten this woman and these people have lost their mind with you, essentially, they witnessed a death. Police officers witnessed this and were screaming, this on you, what are you doing? And that all happened. And that's the order that it happened in. But what the news shows you is people violently fighting with the police and throwing, slapping shields with plastic flagpoles and dragging on police officers. It happened because of what they did. There's no excuse for beating that unarmed woman. It's insanity. So, Roseanne Boylan's beaten. Then you got to remember that the event really kicked off. The people were praying out on that west lawn on the lower west terrace area. As those people were in prayer and singing songs and God bless America, all of a sudden some genius starts firing munitions into the crowd about halfway back in the crowd. Well, what's this do? You have people face to face with the police. There's no confrontation happening. And you have a crowd that then starts pushing from the middle, so the bulge goes in both directions. It pushes the line of people forward. They're shooting rubber bullets into the people from height. Office law enforcement know that this is wrong. You don't shoot rubber bullets because they're a less than lethal force. And when you shoot them from a height, they become a potentially lethal force. But that's what they're doing. They violated all the rules of the usage of the munition, and they're absolutely going crazy. So as they're doing this, they're inciting this crowd on one side, inciting them on another. But interestingly enough, right in the middle of this tunnel scene that everyone's seen, they don't show you that it all stops, it all dies down after Roseanne Boylan's body's taken in, and a little lady comes up, and she says, "Please, please, we're not getting to the police. Please, let us in. We just want our voices heard," and so on. And she's talking about baking cookies for the police in Chicago. I mean, it's just amazing. And then this officer says to her, "You can't go in this way. You have to go in the other way." This happened. This really happened. This is the kind of thing that goes on there. Well, imagine this, Mike. Somewhere after that happens, people start coming up and saying, "You killed her. She died. What's this on you?" Ronald McAbee, one of the guys that's been indefinitely detained. He's been there 700 days, I think it is now. And Ronald McAbee, the sheriff with a gleaming reputation, outstanding service record, 14 years as a sheriff, and Tennessee, and is there telling them, "Hey, I tried to help. He's rendering aid, doing CPR, trying to push back when they're slinging stuff at him. Helps a police officer up, shields him as a human shield, gets him back inside the tunnel." And all this goes on, but this guy's sitting indefinitely detained. But guess who got him? Why he's indefinitely detained? None other than Judge Emmett Sullivan. You remember him? You might remember Emmett Sullivan. He's the same guy that General Michael Flynn. He's the same guy that Stephen. Yeah, he's a corrupt, no-good, swamp rat piece of crap. And that's the facts. At any rate, good old Emmett Sullivan is the reason that that man still sits behind bars with no trial.
Let me interject here. Hold on. You mentioned Ronald McAfee, but Jake Lang was involved with that as well, was he not?
Look, I don't want to get into the details of Jake. Jake's story is a little different, and there's no question that Jake was trying to take part in saving Roseanne Boylan. Jake's released documentaries. Okay. There's a lot of information out there on Jake. I have no bones with Jake. I think he's a good guy. He's done a lot for J6. We just don't agree on everything. That's just, you know, and it's hard.
No, that's okay. I was just curious. Just curious. That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah,
continue.
Jake was right there.
Go ahead.
There was many people there. Philip Anderson was there. There was many people right there at that tunnel. John Mellis, Luke Coffey, the story, the list goes on. But let's not forget the other two people. Kevin Greeson, a flashbang grenade will stop your heart. Flashbang grenades have blown off people's limbs. This happens in bad failed training exercises, etc. There's plenty of reports of this. Flashbang grenades are not to be thrown into the middle of a crowd. But then Kevin Greeson mysteriously has a heart attack right after a flashbang grenade lands by him. So a flashbang grenade hits you in the chest, pretty good chance it's going to stop your heart. So just keep that in mind. So this happened. And then you have Benjamin Phillips. Now, we're not so sure exactly on the story of Benjamin Phillips other than the fact that he did have a heart attack. Now, was it because of the flashbangs? I can't say for sure. But Kevin Greeson's right there in the midst of it, right where the flashbang comes down. That's all available on Taylor Hand footage. There are so many problems with January 6th. Lieutenant Michael Leroy Byrd shoots Ashley Babbitt. Lila Morris beats on Roseanne Boylan, and they're paraded out at the Super Bowl as heroes. Kevin McCarthy says the police officer was doing his job. I didn't see that in the job description for a Capitol police officer to shoot unarmed veteran women. But yeah, maybe I've got, maybe I missed the fine print, right? So now let's go on to the rest of the event. That kind of, you know, summarizes the day as most of what happened. Now, you know what's funny is Murkowski is walking right through the middle of the rotunda with all the violent rioters there. The Oath Keepers trial was a sham. We brought Ed Tarpley into that trial, and it was a terrible scenario where those, you know, James Lee Bright, that Linder guy, Linder and Bright, those two crooks did a terrible job as far as I'm concerned on that case. Most attorneys agree with that. I'm right entitled to my opinion. And Stuart Rhodes certainly isn't happy with their defense. And for them to come out of there and say it was a fair trial, it's like, that's the most absurd thing we've ever heard. Judge Mehta ran a fair trial about like a third world kangaroo court would be expected to be called fair by, you know, Hugo Chavez. So let's just be real. At any rate, moving on we go. So these are the cases that are going on. In the Proud Boy cases, right now you're watching this thing happen. There's a lot of talk about government entrapment, conspiracy, and how many agents were there. What's that sound like? It sounds just like Governor Whitmer, right? Shocking. You don't think these things are real? It's the same story, same people, same players, same government agencies, same entities, yet here we are with yet another narrative about how these people are all terrible. Bundy Ranch, Waco, Waco 2. This is our history. This is the legacy of the three-letter agencies that operate against the people in this country. And remember, this isn't a, you know, bash the three letters. Again, I think there's a lot of good people in there. They used to stand for something. We used to believe in the FBI as people that took care of terrorism, that actually took out the bad people. But now the FBI are people that help rig elections. Now the FBI are these leftist, ideological idiots. Well, I say idiots isn't fair. They're not idiots. But they have this ideology that's un-American and inconsistent with the constitutional view of what a constitutional republic or representative government should look like. So when you think in this term, Mike, you think about these people, they're the same people that under Obama's Congress that were granted over $70 million, and they did these studies at George Washington University and Columbia University. Don't forget Obama's favorite place, right? So where his old alma mater, right? So these universities then turn out these people that are working in the three-letter agencies. You have tenured professors that were the draft dodgers of the 60s that are now there as these tenured professors doing the studies that are hardcore left-leaning communists, right? And they have this idea that everyone else is terrible and everybody else is, just belongs in camps, re-education camps. So you take these same people, they grant these monies to these universities to do domestic violent extremism studies. They do the studies, they send the people in to do their internship, they get through their program with their master's, they come out, they become high-ranking FBI officials and rise through the ranks quite rapidly. That's why you have these young leftist people at the top.
All right, this I got to interrupt you. We got to go to the top of the hour break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Trentus Evans, and we'll let you continue. And I'll open up the phone lines, folks. Stay tuned. Second hour coming up.
Take America back. We must take America back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.